You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello, whoops, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. It wouldn't be coming back from the Christmas break if we didn't have a little error in the programming there.
That's right.
With some little laser sounds. Pew, pew, pew. Dan Collins here with you, and
Martin Bruda.
And Chris Gilpin.
And I'm the only one that's not reading something right now.
Yes, we're all reading lovely stuff.
What's up?
Yeah, I guess nothing happened over the last 4 weeks, right? Nope. Or 6 weeks, or however long we've been gone.
No, everybody have a good holiday?
Yeah. Yes.
Lots of goodies?
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent, excellent.
Christmas is a good time to be a nerd.
Oh, definitely.
Right? So do you guys get anything good for Christmas?
Well, actually, the obverse of that is sometimes being a nerd is bad because people don't know what to get you because they figure you've already got it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, do I get him that Batman Lego set? Wait. He probably stood in line at midnight when Walmart was opening to go get it. So I got a lot of gift certificates.
Yeah.
I've been playing with my Millennium Falcon Air Hog.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm just mastering the hovering part first.
There you go.
Because it just goes out of control, but I'm getting there.
Right on.
It's lots of fun.
I didn't get anything like that.
Yeah.
How about you, Dan?
Well, I got a cool bag.
Yes.
That my wife drew a Captain Canuck on, and
true.
I think, well, she painted it on.
Exactly. It's awesome. It's like
it is.
Painted and color, and it's cool.
It like I'm almost jealous. Looks like professionally done.
I'm jealous.
It is. Yeah, it's great.
And yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of Captain Canuck comics that I already have from my brother.
There you go.
But at least he knows, and I'm going to re-gift those and give them to my half-brother because he doesn't have any.
There you go.
So that's fine. But one of the ones that he did get me was the Die Kitty Die variant that I actually hadn't bought. And I guess is kind of hard to find.
Like recent one?
The Die Kitty Die variant. Remember Harry was looking for it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess he didn't get it. That was a weird one because I had trouble finding it too. That was the Captain Canuck number 10.
Yeah.
With the Fernando Ruiz alternative cover. Fernando, of course, being one half of the Die Kitty Die guys, Dan Parent being the other. Yeah. And, for some reason, I had a hard time finding it, too. I really suspect what it was is, like, Chapter House kind of stumbled a little bit there and missed a few shipping days. So Diamond canceled those orders and resolicited them. And what I think happened is quite a few retailers were like, no, I already ordered that. And didn't reorder them. Not quite knowing, not quite realizing, or went, stupid, we don't, and I'm going to get bitter because if you're a Canadian comic shop, you support Canadian comics no matter what.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, my awesome family got me the premium pass to Fan Expo, so
relived
the experience from 2 years ago where I went all 4 days, which was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I got the pass too, so we're definitely showing up Toronto on the Thursday morning and not leaving till Sunday night, if not maybe Monday morning. I don't know.
Yeah.
Might be a hangover day. So I haven't done that in a long time where I did all 4 days. So should be good.
It was great.
Should be good. We'll have to, I keep saying we'll have to get a hotel room downtown or something like that where we might accidentally bump into a few people. And maybe we'll bump into a few people on purpose too. And
that's right.
Hang out with some of these guys that we stalk on the internet.
That's right.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
They're announcing some of the they haven't announced too many guests yet for Fan Expo, did they? No. They did for the Toronto Comic Con.
Tim Curry, I think, is the only one for Fan Expo.
Yes, they
so
did.
Far.
They did announce Tim Curry.
And today they announced
the Toronto Comic Con. Yeah, that's and so that's in March, isn't it?
Yeah, the Toronto Comic Con is 2 days in March, run by the same people. But whereas Fan Expo, if you don't know Fan Expo, you live under a rock in Canada. Fan Expo is the third largest comic convention in all of North America. Third largest in terms of attendance. It's only behind San Diego Comic-Con and New York Comic-Con. So it's a big thing. Yeah. It's big. It's not teeny tiny. But, you know, Xbox is there, Microsoft, Sony's there, Space TV Station is there. So there's a lot of multimedia stuff, not just, you know, the horror guys are there, the anime folks are there. The Toronto Comic-Con is a little bit more, still has some of that, but really more comic-centric. So the times that I've gone to the Toronto Comic-Con have just been fantastic. You can spend hours digging in long boxes and, you know, it feels a little more comic-centric, which is really cool.
As it, it's just one day, isn't it?
No, it's two.
It's 2 days? Okay.
Yeah. Or at least it was 2 years ago. I'm pretty sure it's 2 days this year. It
used to be one day, but yeah.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have a premium pass from Fan Expo, you get 1 day entrance free at the Toronto Comic Con.
There you go.
At least they used to do that. I don't know. I haven't been to Fan Expo in a few years, so.
Yeah, you get one day free access.
Yeah. So it should be good.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'll be going.
I will definitely try to go up for at least the 1 day.
There you go.
Yeah, so they announced that. Today they announced, Alfred and Bruce from Gotham are going to be there.
Sean Petrie.
Sean,
Who happens to be Pertwee. The son of?
John Pertwee, the third Doctor.
There you go.
See, I didn't
and
know that.
When I saw that, I was started to have, like, fangirl giggles. Just because, like, he did this cosplay of himself as his dad one time.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And it was great.
David Mazouz. I don't know if it's, that's
the young kid who plays Bruce. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
that'll be cool. I'm not a huge celebrity kind of guy and stand in line for hours for a signature. And I've done it a couple of times, and I'm usually too shy to actually do much more than go. I think you're awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm more into it for the comic stuff and Artist Alley and stuff. But it's neat.
Yeah.
I remember the girls, they stood in line for hours and hours. My daughters. For a signature from the girl who did the voice of Ash Ketchum for the cartoon, the Pokemon cartoon.
Oh.
And they were in that line for hours.
Yeah.
Hours. And they signed their Game Boy, I think it was.
Yeah.
And right away, the silver pen, like, started smearing on it. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Mylar! Mylar! But it was fun. It was good. It was fun.
Well, March... Comic-Con 2 years ago, that's when Karen Gillan was supposed to be there, right? And she got
and
late.
She was late.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I missed her by hours.
Yeah.
And then...
I was at that one.
She was back for Fan Expo that year, so the Saturday, that's where I went. I went right to her lineup, and I just stood there. There I didn't care how long it was. And boy, was it ever worth it.
There you go.
Oh, man.
That's good. That's good. Sounds like fun.
Yep, yep.
So, comic books, should we just, like, plow into this right away?
Yeah.
Because there's one thing that I think that I wanted to chat about that might start off a little bit of a rant and take up the rest of the show.
Uh-oh.
There's a company called Scribd? I'm going to go with Scribd. But basically, they advertise themselves as being the Netflix of periodicals. So you give them $10 a month or whatever it is, and you can read as many newspapers, magazines, novels, and comic books that they have on their site for that fee. Scribd has closed down their comic book section saying no one read comics. So I'm just like, is that because it was this service that nobody heard of?
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Or is the competition too big? Like, is Comixology with their Comixology Unlimited in the States and Marvel Unlimited, is that just too much competition that these guys didn't see it? Or are people actually not paying for digital comics and they're pirating it instead? Like,
I would think nobody knew about it. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
No.
Also, like, what's the selection, too?
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe the selection wasn't good.
It was supposed to have, if I'm not mistaken, Dark Horse was on there. Image was on there. Definitely not DC or Marvel.
No.
Okay. Although there was talk that Marvel was supposed to be part of it, but they weren't. I think it's interesting, too, because there's another company called Comic Blitz that are announcing that in January they're releasing an Android app. They have an Apple app, but they don't have an Android app. And it's the same thing, $7.99 US for a month, and you can read all these books. And they're actually a little bit more up to date. You know how Marvel Unlimited's like 6 months behind?
Yeah.
These guys are like only three or four issues behind. Hmm. Not as bad. Well, I guess three or four issues. That's pretty still, much 6 months.
Yeah. Well, if it's Marvel releasing them, could be more.
Yeah, exactly. If it's DC, it's 2 weeks, but we won't get into that. And so I was thinking of signing up for it and just trying it out for a little bit instead of constantly getting these Image series that turn into mini series, which is another rant. Hmm. And just try it out, right? You know, if I pay $7, but I'm not, I don't know. Remember how we tried digital for a little while and it just wasn't working for me? I don't know if you guys are still, you're still Marvel Unlimited, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah, I haven't used it too much the past, like, I don't know, since before Christmas, because I've been just crazy doing other stuff. But I read a heck of a lot of Marvel comics, like, in November.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, dozens. Titles I wouldn't ever have picked up before. I was just like, yeah, I'll read that. And which I guess is the point of having an unlimited thing. You're just like, I'll read whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and, you know, I actually got into, kind of read, Chris was talking about the Danny Reyes Ghost Rider, right? Mm. And so I read the whole, like, first series of that. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Do you watch S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, okay. No, I've so missed, I missed a whole lot of episodes, and it's impossible to buy to get caught up, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've only read the one issue of the new series, which I didn't pick up number two, but it seemed like his origin was similar with his brother in a wheelchair. Was his brother in a wheelchair
No, but he had like a special needs brother, so maybe it's...
Oh, maybe they just changed it a bit.
Yeah, changed it a little bit.
Right.
Because he was looking after his brother. That was part of his like character development, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was part of his origin too, kind of. But anyways,
now Marty's like back to digital comics.
No, that's fine. No, I mean that's the point, right? Now I've got a few of those mums as friends, you know, those mothers, the perfect mothers that, you know, everything that's been done on raising a kid for the last 16 centuries has been wrong, and we don't know how to do it right, and only they know how to raise kids. But they keep talking about LCD screens and the blue light, and if you read half hour before bed, how it kind of messes you up. It's not the same as reading paper.
Right.
And I kind of noticed that when I was reading on the tablet, I wasn't retaining the information that I read. Like, I'd read an issue and then go have dinner or whatever, and then I'd read the next issue and I'd be confused because I can't remember what happened the issue before.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's just because I'm an old fart or is it, you know, a problem or... So that's what I'm noticing. It's exactly what you said, Dan. People get onto the digital, they download a whole bunch, and then it kind of peters off. They don't do it anymore because it's either inconvenient or too different.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we know guys that are 100% digital that love digital, right?
And the thing we've discussed before, though, is like you've tried multiple different ways of reading your digital comics, and none of them seem to work for you. So
I was gonna
it's not
say,
just like one device that's not working.
Yeah, you got to have the right device,
yeah,
like the right way to read it.
Now, I've got a Kobo that's, you know, that e-ink, and it's just black and white, and I've never experienced any kind of problems reading novels on that.
Yeah.
If they ever came out, and I know it's difficult because e-ink technology isn't like that, if they could come out with a color one that was big enough with high enough resolution, because that's the other thing. If you're doing it on a tablet that's got horrible resolution, I mean... You might as well. You're constantly thinking you're not wearing your reading glasses when you are.
Yeah, I remember it was a long time ago because we were in our old apartment building. But I had something on my computer. I just remember clicking, and it would bring up one panel, and then you would click, and it would bring up the next panel of the comic book.
That's that guided view thing, and I had a little problem with that too because the idea is, you know, your tablet's so small that they're going to give you a few panels at a time, and they choose the flow of the panels as opposed to... Now, I know, you know, the story takes the flow of the panel. But
yeah,
when I open up a comic book, the eyes see the whole two pages first. Then it focuses on panel number one and starts going. This way, you don't see what's happening. Sometimes with double page spreads, it shrinks it, so you got to turn your tablet into landscape from portrait to see the two pages, and then you got to turn it back. Or you don't see the second page of the panel, so instead of reading across the two pages, you read across the first page, and then you're like confused because it's not working.
Yeah.
And then you turn to the next page, like, oh, because it was a double page spread. No wonder it didn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work for splash pages.
Yeah.
So that caused me some problems. But the other part of this digital thing is, as we know, Marvel used to give a digital code for free inside each physical copy so that you would get both the physical copy and a free digital copy. And I guess I didn't realize this, but a lot of people were buying their comics basically just for the code. I'm going to support my local comic shop by buying the comic at the local comic shop, but I'm not going to read the thing. Yeah. I'm just going to immediately open up, get the digital code, throw it on my iPad, and read it later instead of just buying it directly on the iPad for the same price. I guess they figured I'd rather give the money to the local comic shop than Apple.
Right.
Or Google or whoever they're purchasing it from. Well, now Marvel's taking that away. So what you get instead of the digital copy of the comic you bought, you'll get 1, 2, 3, or 4 promotional comics
that you don't want.
At their discretion. Yeah. That are basically the first issue of trade paperbacks that they're trying to sell.
Yeah.
So ads.
Yeah.
Of books that you may or may not want to read. So everybody's up in arms over this.
And they're also the same books no matter what, how many comic books you buy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you don't get 4 different books.
Exactly.
There's just 4 per month or whatever.
Yeah. So if you buy 10 comics, 10 Marvel comics that month, you're only going to get that 1, 2, 3, or 4 digital issues. You know, so like one buddy of ours on Facebook, Kevin, he's dropped 10 titles at $3.99 a piece. That's a hefty chunk out of his budget gone that the local comic shop's not going to get.
Yeah.
So this might make sense for Marvel because now it's like, well, no. You want the digital copy. You're going to have to pay us the $3.99, cut out the local comic shop. The local comic shop is going to be like freaking over this. At least I would if I was a retailer.
Now, the other part of the story, that, in my opinion, that is that people would buy the comic, get the code, and then sell the code on eBay.
That's the other thing that's been happening, yeah.
Right? And I'm sure Marvel's like, no.
I'm
we're
sure
not
that
going to let that happen.
I'm sure that kind of piracy of the code and stuff like this. Now, myself personally, I've never ripped off one of these digital codes out of my comic and redeemed
them. Me neither.
No.
Me neither. Sacrilege.
You know? Well, there was a whole debate a couple of years ago about does that affect the quality? You know, are you degrading the comic book?
Is it a qualified CGC now if you've taken that out?
You absolutely are diminishing the comic book from its original state when it was given. So you need to get a hit on the grade because of that. And everyone's like, no. Yeah. It's so common and everybody cool does it. So we're not going to count it. But
just
it
like everybody cool cut out the Marvel stamp.
That's right.
Yeah, but if you got a Marvel stamp cut out, it destroys the value.
It does, so.
Yeah.
I think it should take over.
But I haven't heard that whole argument for a long time.
No, because it's been resolved.
Oh.
They basically said, if your sticker's missing, you'll never get higher than a 9.8. If it's a 9 and your sticker's missing or not missing, they don't care.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
So realistically, if your sticker's missing, you'll never get a 9.9 or a 10, which is hard.
Yeah.
But you can still get a 9.8. And I'm like, no. A physical piece of the book is missing.
Yeah.
But it's not story content and it's not, okay, well, let me rip all the ads and the cowboy coloring out of your Action Comics number one and see how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of people are dropping titles because of this.
At least that was the what's going on in the internet. Now, is that just rhetoric? Is that, because we're the wrong demographic. We're old-time collectors. We like the paper. We like having it in front of us. We like the smell of it. We like, for the love of St. Pete, I don't know why, but we love sitting there in front of the TV, rebagging and reboarding.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, so we're not that group. So maybe we're not, you know, we're not qualified to speak on that. We're not millennial enough or digitally inclined enough to see how it would affect us. Like, for me, it makes no difference. I couldn't care less. But, you know, you see on the internet, apparently it does.
I mean, like, I don't even read trade paperbacks. I want to buy the actual comics.
Yeah.
Right? So that's probably why I haven't gone digital.
Yeah.
Because if I want to read it, I'll go and try and find the comic book. But no, that's getting harder to do.
I haven't had a chance. Our favorite comic shop at the moment is Comic Book Addiction. Mine, speaking of myself, you guys might have a different opinion. The owner there, Steve, I haven't had a chance to be in the store when he's in the store and actually ask him what he thinks, like as a retailer.
Mm-hmm.
The guys at Grey Guardian, you know, they're trying hard and they're bringing in comics, but they're not really a comic shop. So to ask them what they think about it, I think would be pointless because it's not really a big part of their market. So, but a dedicated comic shop owner, it'd be very interesting to have a chat with them. And why am I peeling this off? I'm peeling away history here. We'll talk about that later. But so, yeah, I just thought that was neat. I mean, I do remember, and that's the other thing. There's so much to rant about this particular topic, and I feel like we've done some of it before, so I'll try not to, you know, go too crazy.
But stop peeling things from everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my asthma attack. But
ranting.
Yeah. Ranting. The other thing that bothers me about the whole digital thing is you're not actually buying anything. You're renting it.
Yeah.
Like, I was involved with quite a few of the early companies before Comixology came out as the leader. And some of them just shuttered up shop and said, okay, we're done. The servers are done. We're done. And I'm like, well, what about the 25 comics I bought? What if you invested $100,000 in comic books with this service? They close up shop. You're done. Yeah. You don't get anything. There's nothing for it. So it's a consumption as opposed to a collecting model.
Yeah.
Like, some could argue, you don't have anything left over that pizza that you just ate either. So. But I don't know, we like having piles and piles and piles of smelly paper with plastic bags all over the place.
And the three of us, you know, it would be interesting to have Sam in on this, because Sam's a consumer, I would say, more so than a collector.
When it comes to comics, he's definitely, and he said it himself, you know, right now his collecting thing is records, so he's more about, I want to read the story.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't throw out his books or anything. He saves them. He bags and boards them. He puts them away. But it's not like he goes out after, you know, he's not trying to complete a run of Fantastic Four from the Bronze Age. So, yeah, he's pulled away from digital, too. Because he went for a little while there. He was pirating digital comics. And
arr, Billy, would you like some comics? Arr.
But he says he stopped that too, because the sheer volume of the stuff that he was getting and the tablet and all this stuff, and it was just a pain in the bottom. He just found it easier to have a stack of comic books beside his easy chair, sit down and read when he can, you know, not like, oh, I'm in the middle of this really great battery. What do you mean battery? There's three pages. Oh. I'm going to read today. No, you're not. Cause the kid's playing Candy Crush. We need another $500 tablet because I want to read my comics. It doesn't make sense.
No.
But anyway.
No.
That's my digital comic rant, I think. I could rant so much more over it. I do have good news, though. Did you guys read about Twilight Lobo?
No.
Oh, my gosh!
Twilight Lobo, no more.
So, I've kind of gotten back on the Lobo kick because I loved Lobo when he first came out. He's the main man in DC Comics, sort of like their version of Deadpool, kind of the comedic character, over the top, ridiculous. And he was pretty popular there in the 90s and stuff like this, and then faded away a little bit as, you know, people got tired of that. And famously, I keep always saying, you know, his first issue was worth $100-some-odd bucks, $120 at one time, and now it's in the dollar bins. Chris and I can attest to that this week. We found a heck of them. But he's kind of coming back. And when the new 52 came out, they came out with we call him Twilight Lobo. Because it's just like the Twilight characters, versions of vampires. They're all soft and squishy. And
handsome.
Glistening. And handsome.
Also known as Lipstick Lobo.
Yeah. So yeah. I always called him Twilight Lobo. But yeah, some people are calling him Lipstick Lobo. So he was the new 52 Lobo. There was a storyline where the guy from the 90s was actually an imposter. And
And they're bounty hunters, and so the one guy threw him in jail and blah, blah, blah. So we had this Twilight lipstick Lobel, this pretty Lobel. And this month in Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, we actually find out the fate of Twilight Lobel.
So he's a different person.
Yeah, he's two definitely, different guys.
So they're keeping that.
Yeah, and it's always been two different guys, right? Okay. And they're keeping right. that. So I guess what happens is Brainiac, you know how he shrinks stuff and puts them in little jars?
Right.
Well, is it Larfries?
Yeah.
Larfries? Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
I'm Polish. I can't pronounce.
Larfries, yeah.
Yeah, it's fleas as in ticks and fleas, so it's Larfries.
Yeah.
He steals this particular Brainiac's collection of shrunken creatures and stuff. So they find him, and Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps are there, and they're doing all sorts of things, and they defeat Larfries. And they're freeing all these creatures from these jars. So you see Guy Gardner, he picks up the jar with Twilight Lobel in it. And you see little Twilight Lobel like, ting, 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 knocking on the glass. Like, let me out, let me out. I'm over here. He's just about to throw it and smash it. And that's when Hal Jordan comes in. He goes, no, 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 stop, stop. He puts the jar. He says, trust me, it's better leave this guy on the shelf. So he's like, you know, ting, 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 knocking on the glass. No, no, let me out. So officially in the rebirth, Twilight Lobel's in a jar, stuck on a shelf somewhere. So I thought that was hilarious. That was a nice callback. That was a nice little to the New 52.
Well, I'd wanted to talk to you because you said you weren't really a fan of the Justice League versus Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Because Lobo's in that, right?
Yeah, the whole Justice League book has been one of my least favorite rebirth books.
Yeah.
It seems like it's just an excuse to make a epic fight scene.
Right.
It's a 6-issue fight scene, and then there's a 4-issue fight scene, and it's really low on story, really low on characterization. And Suicide Squad is my second least favorite because you got 6 pages of the main story, and then a whole whack of pages of filler.
Origin, yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, 6 pages of story and a whole whack of filler. And it's like, dude, we know who Boomerang is. Yeah. We know who Harley Quinn is. You do not need to tell us again.
Yeah.
We don't care who Slipknot is. And neither do the guys who made the movie. But that's another story. You know, we don't... Like, give me content. Give me something interesting. So I've kind of soured on Justice League and I kind of soured on Suicide Squad.
Right.
I read the first 2 issues of the Justice League Suicide Squad book, and I kind of had made up my mind ahead of time I wasn't going to like it because I don't like the other 2 books.
Yeah.
That team-up book is actually better than the 2 regular books.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. And it's kind of setting up this whole Justice League of America that's coming out, which is basically Batman and the Outsiders. They're just going to call it Justice League of America, and it's going to have the main man 90s Lobo, which is awesome.
Yeah.
A little bit of comic relief in that book. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we've been hitting a couple of warehouses and stuff, and I've just been on a rampage to try to re-get my my Lobo books, and I just started reading them the other day, and I read Lobo and Lobo's Back. Oh, my goodness. That was funny as heck back then. It was hilarious.
So is Batman going to be in both books, Justice League and Justice League of America?
I don't know about the plan about Justice League, but he's definitely going to be in Justice League of America.
Yeah, because there's ads now in the new books that have him in it. So
I get the impression he's going to be sort of like the senior babysitter of that team. I don't know how much he's going to guide them or not.
And right.
Who else was in it that was cool that immediately made Tweedle want to get the book?
Killer Frost?
No.
Black Canary, wasn't it? Yeah.
Is she in there too?
Yeah.
And someone else maybe.
So Black Canary. I don't know if you remember the Bwahaha Justice League. But the same thing happened there. Batman was the de facto leader.
Right.
But he was so busy on his missions that it ended up being Black Canary that kind of ran things, hit Black Canary and Captain Atom. So I think the same thing's going to happen here. You know, Batman's the guy. But it's going to be a little bit more of the other characters and stuff. So I think it should be good. It can't be any worse than Justice League.
Yeah, I'm behind on that one,
that
too.
Book is bad. Speaking of bad books, did you guys read that Vigilante Southland?
Nope.
No.
Again.
Apparently no one did.
Yeah, apparently no one did. again, that's a book that I used to read back in the 80s, and I'm trying to recollect them and reread them and stuff slowly. It's not a huge priority, but whenever I see one, I grab it. And I guess they relaunched it as Vigilante Southland. It's a slightly different character.
You know, he's I don't even know because I wasn't reading it, but apparently he's a little bit grimmer, a little bit darker, and you know, that kind of stuff. You know, exactly like you'd expect from a modern reboot. And it's a six-issue miniseries. Nobody read it. They canceled issue 4, 5, and 6. They're not releasing it. And when they release the trade paperback, that's when they're going to put those pages that are already complete into the story, which I thought was kind of hilarious to be canceled after 3 issues.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to tell you, it's bad.
Yeah.
If they're not even going to finish it, even though they have everything done, they're not even going to distribute it, that's got to be bad.
Yeah.
So, but again, I have no idea. I didn't follow the series at all, much like everybody else. So I couldn't even tell you sales numbers on that or all of those little DC miniseries I seem to have skipped. Even when they did it in the New 52, the New You, they had like the Voodoo and what was the other one? They had a Vixen one, didn't they? I don't remember. They did the Martian Manhunter one. Right now they got Hawkman is in one with Adam Strange. I think it's called Death of Hawkman. Yeah. And then they got Captain Atom, who I liked Captain Atom in the 80s.
Yeah, I read that today. Did you read that? The new Captain Atom?
No. I think I'm just going to wait till they come out as a trade and then make a game time decision then on whether I'm going to get it or not.
Oh, they're making comparisons now between Captain Atom and Dr. Manhattan.
Well, that's natural because that's who he is.
Right.
Right? Like, everybody knows that story, how Alan Moore was supposed to use the Charlton character. That's another bone I'm going to pick with you guys. I know it's Charlton Heston, but I don't read characters in my chapter book. I read characters in my chapter book. Help a Pole out. Because, I mean, English is my second language. What is this? Is it character or is it chapter? Is it Charlton or is it Carlton? Like, come on.
Well, I've got shul in the morning. I'll have to check my schedule.
My schedule. Actually, I had a teacher in elementary school used to say schedule instead of schedule. And film. Instead of saying film, they said film. Film and schedule. I don't know. Is that like a British thing? Anyways, that confused my Polish brain.
It's Captain Atom.
So, yeah, Captain Atom was a Charlton character or a Carlton character, whichever you prefer. And when DC got the rights to those characters, Alan Moore was supposed to launch that whole thing with Watchmen. And then they decided, you know, well, Alan Moore is kind of Alan Moore, and he's going to do something nasty. We might not have these characters afterwards. He might start killing some of them off. So they basically said, okay, you know, just change your characters a little bit. We don't want you to destroy our characters. So Blue Beetle became, what's his name?
Not Night Owl.
Night Owl. Is it Night Owl?
I think so.
Yeah.
Whoever. The guy in the bug. Dr. Manhattan was Captain Atom. Rorschach was the Question, right? And I think they said that, what's his name? Not Amadeus.
It's been too long since.
Adrian Velt. What was his character name? Asmodeus?
Ozymandias. Yeah. Ozymandias.
He's kind of a collaboration of a few characters and stuff like this. So,
who's the Silk Spectre?
Well, that's, what was her name? Somebody's going to blast me for this. The Dark Shade or something like that? Or she was actually a character and she didn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
The Comedian was supposed to be Peacemaker. There was a character that didn't go anywhere with DC. Because they rellaunched all those characters in series. Nightshade. I'm pretty sure it was Nightshade.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I don't know. You'd have to look it up on the internet. But they launched a Peacekeeper miniseries that didn't go anywhere. Blue Beetle took. Captain Atom took. Question took. But none of the other characters really went anywhere.
I mean, 3 characters isn't bad at all.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
You know, 7 or 8.
So, yeah, I'm not surprised at all that they're saying Captain Atom, Dr. Manhattan, Captain Atom, Dr. Manhattan. I mean, they're the same character, basically. Because, you know, Moore is such a genius that he invented all this stuff.
Let's not get onto Moore.
He's not like a derivative.
We don't need to talk any more about that.
Exactly. I mean,
Bwahaha.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with all those original characters that he created, like Alan Quartermain, and, you know, we won't whine about that. You guys should take over before I start cursing them out.
So they did announce that a future issue of Batman and Flash will be covering the Watchmen a little more, revealing a little more, I guess. So the covers have them both of them holding the comedian's button, right?
Yeah, because in the Rebirth, they showed Batman finding that button embedded in the side of the Batcave, mm-hmm. but they haven't touched that storyline yet.
No.
And that was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, right? Especially...
Like, wasn't that like April?
Yeah, especially
like we're coming
with,
up on almost a year.
Especially with Batman books coming out. There's Batman and Detective coming out twice a month. So that's four issues every month since April, and they haven't touched it yet. So it's like, yeah, I mean, let's get on this. But I thought that was pretty cool that they're also going to do it in the regular comics. They're not going to make it into an event.
Yeah.
But then the part of me, I'm okay with it because I get Batman and Flash. But then the part of me that's like, why is Marvel making this crossover with titles that I don't like and I don't want? So if you're a Batman fan, you don't read Flash, I think you're going to be same thing, right? You know, yeah. Oh, there's two issues of Flash I don't need and I don't want. So,
maybe. But those two issues of Flash are better than an 8-issue miniseries or a 12-issue maxi series of, you know, premium $7.99 books.
Oh.
Right?
Yep.
So just buy those two Flash books or whatever you need.
Do you really want it? Like, what did Marvel announce just lately that that Captain America... Was it Forbidden Empire or Hidden Empire? And it's going to be a whole thing. And there's, how many events do they have going on right now? They got the
Secret Empire.
Yeah. They've got the whole, like, Civil War just wrapped up last week or the week before, right?
Yeah.
Number 8?
2 months late.
You got the whole Inhumans versus X-Men thing going on right now. Now they announced this
Secret Empire.
Secret Empire from Captain America. And that's apparently not even the big crossover of 2017. We are 13 days in to this year, and Marvel's already, like, eventing us to death. But I did hear that Tweedle's texting here saying that Ozymandias was based on Judo Master. I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it, Sam? Judo Master?
Because, like, Ozymandias is pretty powerful.
Yeah, but he was rich and stuff. Yeah. I thought Judo Master was like, Grasshopper kind of roamed the land. And
you're thinking Karate Kid.
Yeah.
No, like
that was the
movie Karate Kid.
No, Grasshopper, that was Kung Fu with David Carradine, the 70s TV show.
Can I, to go back to Secret Empire,
yeah,
can I just read a paragraph about, like, what it's supposed to be about?
Yes, go, launch.
Okay, so it says the new Captain America event that seems to be focused on Captain America's recruitment as a Hydra sleeper agent. So based on, like, the previous Captain America comics that just were so so inflammatory the past few months. His recruitment as a Hydra sleeper agent as a child. His current attempt to wrest Hydra from the Red Skull, as well as referring to a 70s Captain America plotline that saw the leader of a secret criminal organization as the president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, Secret Empire.
So they're still pushing this whole thing that Captain America was a Hydra agent this whole time.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I haven't read even a single word of that comic book.
Like, okay.
There's a big rant coming.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Batman versus Superman, Man of Steel. The movie didn't flippin' work because Man of Steel, they're fighting the Kryptonians, they're ripping apart Smallville, they're picking up aliens and throwing them through convenience stores and through Five and Dimes. If that was a comic book, immediately, first thing you would see is a thought bubble above Superman's head going, I must redirect this fight to the cornfields or away from civilization, not... Let's escalate this bad boy so bad that fighter jets come screaming in, bombing downtown Smallville, and then throw the fight into Metropolis and destroy Metropolis. Like, that's not Superman. That's not his character. That's not what he does. That's not what he's been about since 1938. He's the Boy Scout. He's the you know, the man in blue. He would have done everything possible to move that fight away from that destruction and the potential for collateral damage. That's him. Captain America, for Pete's sakes. Red, white, and blue shield flag. And you're going to tell me he's basically their version of a Nazi / communist sleeper agent?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we complain when they make some characters, you know, female or different ethnic races that
Lipstick Lobo.
You know, and Lipstick Lobo that they're ruining the character and stuff. But at least Lipstick Lobo was a totally different version. They didn't kill off the other one. They didn't wreck the other one. They brought in another guy. Riri Williams is the new, she's a young lady who happens to be black, who's the new Iron Man. They call her, not Iron Man, they call her Ironheart. Ironheart, exactly. Cool. It's a totally different character. It's a way to go in a different direction. They didn't all of a sudden say, oh, look, Tony Stark is a Hispanic gay man from Jamaica or anything like this. They didn't take and change the character, the iconic character that's lasted all these years, yeah, right?
Like with Bendis did with the X-Men.
Like you do the whole superior Spider-Man thing. Let's make Spider-Man evil. Well, no, let's not make Spider-Man evil. Peter Parker is never evil. Peter Parker. He's honest and stuff. Let's come up with this storyline where brain transference and it's actually Dr. Octopus in the costume. That makes sense. It's a different character, so of course he's going to behave differently. But yeah, you don't mess up Peter Parker.
No.
Same thing, like Captain America. They're basically saying that everything you read since the 40s, that iconic cover of him punching Hitler in the face in those 40s comics, the whole, you know, I'm just, oh.
Yeah.
And now he is basically the Marvel version of a Nazi communist sympathizer spy. That's really bugging me.
But like,
is that written by Bendis?
Having not read a single thing except for the synopsis that I just read out loud here, the synopsis makes it sound like he's trying to take power away from the Red Skull. So maybe he's a sleeper agent of Captain America. Yeah, Captain America sleeper agent inside a traitor sleeper agent who is a Hydra guy.
Yeah, but they talk about it happening, him being recruited as a kid. Being indoctrinated as a kid. So this has always been in Captain America's back of his head. So that's no longer a revenge, gotcha, I'm going to defeat Hydra plot. If it happened way back then. Like, I came up with some real doozy ideas when I was a kid and followed through with none of them. I am neither an astronaut, nor am I a member of the French Foreign Legion. I didn't travel to Mars. I'm not an Atlantean. You know, I just don't buy that. It's going to be cheap. I know that that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, no, he's actually a double agent. And, you know, but it just doesn't work.
Well, didn't he murder somebody in the first issue? Toss the kid out the back of the helicopter?
Yeah, I think that was like the controversy, right?
Yeah.
It's just not working for me. Not even a little.
It's not very original either, because in the movies and the TV show, they turned all of S.H.I.E.L.D. into sleeper Hydra agents as well.
Spoilers. I just said I haven't seen it. Come on.
It's in the movies, too.
But they didn't do it with the they didn't do it with most of the main characters, right?
No.
Like, Nick Fury's not... But
still, how long has S.H.I.E.L.D. been around? And this whole time, it's majority, like 80% of them have been... Yeah. Undercover Hydra agents?
I don't know. It seems like weak sauce to me. And I mean, like Dan says, he's not reading it. I'm not reading it. You reading it?
No.
And you know what? I'm actually a pretty big Captain America fan.
Because it's not in the top 10 list of comics being sold. It's not in the, you know, I'd be surprised if it's in the top 100. Like, is Captain Canuck Steve Rogers and Captain Canuck...
Captain America, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, Captain America.
the quick, new spin-off, Captain Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson. You know, are those two comic books in the top 10? No. You know, how many Marvel books are in the top 10? Not that many.
Is he in any other books, or is this just the only title that he's in? Steve.
You know, I'm not sure because there's 14 different Avengers titles, and I'm not sure.
And I was just going to say, I don't even know, like, what Marvel has done so many weird things. Like, is old man Steve Rogers still around? Like, what's going on with that?
No, this is old man Steve Rogers. He's back to being young again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Spoilers!
He took the Roger Ramjet pill and he got better.
I wish I had prepared and we could have that panel that we posted on the internet about where they're explaining, Nova's explaining to the other guy about what happened to everybody.
That was so hilarious. Oh my gosh. That almost makes me want to go and pick up that
Champions book. It was hilarious.
What, is that from, though? That's not from the Champions book.
Well, I thought it was.
Not yet. Because Rainbows is the artist. No, I don't think so. I don't know where that's from.
Oh,
Future issue? Or
no.
Nova's title? Nova has a title, doesn't he? Or Will? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's from Nova. I think it's from Nova 2.
Okay.
I don't know. Dan's going to frantically type here on the
internet.
Yeah, I'm going
to see if I can find it. But
yeah, I think it's from Nova 2 because I read Nova 1. And it was pretty good. And, yeah, I think it's from Nova 2 where young Nova, I read that book. What's his name? Sam Alexander. Alexander, gosh, I'm telling you, age is a bad thing. I should eat more fish sauce or something. So young Nova, right? He's escorting Richard Rider around because Richard Rider came back from the dead. And just showing him his stuff. And, of course, young Nova's a member of the Champions. So he introduces him to the Champions. And the Champions is basically young versions of everybody, right? It's kind of like young Avengers. They've got the Vision's daughters there. Amadeus Cho, the Hulk, is there. But not Bruce Banner Hulk. Amadeus Cho Hulk.
Young Cyclops.
Young Cyclops is there, which is a whole nother Bendis churning problem there. Yeah. And he's explaining to Richard Rider, who's been away for all these decades, that this is this guy. And he's just like, whoa, I can't follow this. And it was echoing exactly what us readers are thinking. We can't follow this malarkey. I mean, it's crazy. You're going nuts. It's too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way Marvel's going right now, and that's fine. And, you know, and the other thing is we were talking about the new Defenders comic book before we got on air a little bit yesterday. So there's going to be a new Defenders comic, and it's basically a TV tie-in for the Netflix thing,
yeah.
Which, fine, whatever. But, hey, let's take the Daredevil comic and make every character in Daredevil have its own TV, its own comic series.
Yeah.
Let's take every Spider-Man villain and roll them out and have individual series about them. Nobody wants that stuff.
Nope. It's oversaturation.
I want the X-Men, you know, like, I want the Avengers. I don't want Occupy Avengers, U.S. Avengers, the Uncanny Avengers, Avengers 1 point whatever it was.
Yeah.
Do they still have Ultimate Avengers? I can't even remember.
And, no, the Ultimate Universe is gone.
And one can argue that, no, it's called the Ultimates. Remember, the Ultimate Universe collapsed, but they still had a team called the Ultimates?
Oh, yeah.
Which was basically the Ultimate Avengers, right? So, and then, you know, it's just too much, guys. It's just too much. Let's take DC's lead. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to those characters that have lasted all these years. If you want to have, you know, Riri Williams as Ironheart, there's no reason why she can't be Ironheart in the Iron Man book as a compliment. You know, the original Hawkeye series by, Matt Fraction, where it had Kate Bishop and it had Clint Burton, both Hawkeyes, and they had them in the same comic book, interacting with each other, having simultaneous and individual adventures all in the same series, and it worked. It was great. It was a fantastic book. Yeah. So why can't we do that? You know, why can't it be Captain America and the Falcon? Why does it have to be, this book is Captain America, Steve Rogers, this book is Captain America, the Falcon, this is, you know, Captain America, Occupy, this is Ultimate Captain America, this is Uncanny Captain America, because we got to make Captain America mutant now because everybody's mutants.
So he's inhuman.
And then we got to mix the Avengers and the mutants together. But we can't have mutants anymore because Fox owns mutants. So now we're going to push the Inhumans. So now we got 16 Inhumans books. Nobody wants this.
Yeah.
Your sales numbers prove it. Nobody wants this. Go back to basics. I'm not saying, you know, I'm old, crotchety old man, and you need to do everything back to the old way it was. No, but Superman needs to behave like Superman. Spider-Man, right now, behaves like Iron Man. He's rich. He's in Tokyo. He's got a glow-in-the-dark costume. He's got a black sidekick that fills in for him, who's surprisingly not named Rhodes. And you know, like, that's not Spider-Man. Get Spider-Man back into New York City, fighting the street-level crime and the occasional bad guy, being funny. I don't want to see boardroom Spider-Man. Who wants to see boardroom Spider-Man? Nobody, because nobody's buying the book.
What are they doing now with the Dead No More or whatever? Not,
I have no idea because they've lost me. I'm not reading it.
Why don't we talk about something that we want to talk about?
Okay.
Like what Marty's got in front of him.
Yes. Okay. So,
instead of just more ranting.
Yeah, instead of ranting, let's talk about something that's going to make us cry instead. Make us slightly nostalgic and then cry. So, somebody was talking about old comic book price guides. And I thought it'd be interesting to pull up my comic book price guide, the very first one I ever bought. And, of course, mine's gone. It's been destroyed so many times. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm trying to see if I can remember what year this thing was. So the one that I had was published 1985. That was the first one I physically bought. And I bought it at Dixon's Comic Shop. And I was kind of mentioning this on our Facebook groups and stuff. And somebody said, hey, I happen to have the Dixon's Comics counter copy of that price guide. So this is Art Dixon's personal book that he had behind the counter to help him price stuff before the internet was a big thing.
Yeah.
So the fellow's name's Aaron, and he came out to my place and brought a stack of these things. There's like, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years where it actually has the Dynamo label, counter copy only, Dixon bookstore, not for sale. Business cards as bookmarks. I was just flipping through this, and I found a press clipping for the Montreal Amateur Athletic Association Stanley Cup Champions of 1894 as a bookmark, you know? And it's just hilarious. Like, you can see where, like, the Spider-Man section and the Detective Comics section is split, the spine split, because it was open there so much.
Yeah.
The X-Men section is split because it was open there so much. You know, it's just fantastic. I mean, just going through this and looking at it, it's just this big swelling of nostalgia. One of the Dixon's business cards fell out while I was digging through it, and I was just like, Dixon's is gone. It was made me sad.
Yep.
So how much do you think Amazing Spider-Man number one was in 1985? Anybody? Any guess? Mm-hmm. Any guess?
No idea.
$750 in mint condition.
In mint.
Wow. Mint. $90 in good, $300 in fine. Like, man. Unbelievable, eh?
Somebody invent a time machine.
That's right.
Amazing Spider-Man 252. $3.60. Man, oh man, oh man.
Yeah.
Just bananas. Like, I even noticed, like, I went through a bit of a comic buying spurt in 2005 when I sold some of my collection, and I managed to buy some nicer books and stuff like this. I got Flash 123 for like $230. That sucker's going for like $4,000, $5,000 if it's graded and in decent shape right now. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just a product of like the popularity of the culture and stuff, right? Pop culture and comic books, and everybody's trying to get the next big thing, but some books have just gone crazy in price. Just gone crazy. But yeah, it's a neat nostalgia thing. Some people have already, not mentioning names, Chris Gilbert, laid claim to some of the other store copies. So,
yeah. That's right.
They have, he has issue 10, volume 10 and volume 11 that are in excellent shape. I'm not giving up those. But they're not all dog-eared and they don't have the nostalgia value. They're just kind of cool collectibles. So mm-hmm. I'm holding on to that. And I'm holding on to this one. And Aaron was really cool. We just traded some comic books that I used to try to sell at Lakefield. So he grabbed a stack of Bronze Age and Modern Age readers and stuff like this for these. So I was pretty happy with the deal. It was all right.
Good stuff.
Other than that, I think we got like 5-6 minutes, don't we?
Yeah. Can I talk about a book I read?
Yes, absolutely.
A literal book.
Why do you keep asking me permission? Just talk.
I'm going to talk about a book I read.
Just elbow me in the head and
start. Have either of you guys read this one?
I missed
Comic
it.
Comic Con Men from Anthony Falcone, who has the greatest name in history.
Yeah.
Anthony Falcone. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's a great name. So you don't have this one?
I do not have that one, and I need to get it.
All right. So I picked it up at the Toronto Comic Con last year.
Mm-hmm.
It had just come out.
Really? It's been almost a year?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. And so it's from Chapter House. It's the first novel that they've published on their line.
No pictures?
No pictures.
No pretty pictures?
So basically it's like Ocean's 11, but done with comic books.
Nice.
It's about this guy who decides to go into Fan Expo and steal the top five comics, like Action Comics number one, Detective Comics 27, from this jerky guy who has them for sale, and it's a big a-hole, so it's okay for him to steal from him. And the book itself, like the plot and stuff, it's lots of fun, lots of great stuff. Like, if you're a comic book fan, you know, they'll talk about doing a guy a favor and giving him a Hulk 181 to pay him off and stuff. Like, just lots of cool comic lingo, comic situations, things that you will definitely read and be like, I did that.
Right on. Yeah. You know? I'll definitely got to go pick that up.
The only the only beef that I have with it is that there are some times when the wrong word is in there because, like, spell check missed the word.
Oh, no.
So on occasion, you'll find a word and you're like, nope, that's not the right word. But
hey, Tony, if you need an assistant editor, I'm bored.
But it was a fun read. Definitely recommend it.
Well, speaking of Tony, he was mentioning that this is like the start of a whole prose section coming from Chapter House. There's a prose Captain Canuck book that's on its way shortly, and they've been kind of soliciting getting more types of stuff. So there's going to be like a whole prose section coming out of them, which should be cool. I always think that's neat. But yeah, I'll definitely get that. Well, sirs,
good.
I think that might be it. I think we're playing an outro and we're done, right?
I guess.
I hear people in the hallway. They're probably like, wrap it up. Wrap it up. I got to get in there. All right. Well, I guess I'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Yep. I should be here.
Same bat time, same bat channel, I guess.
Yep.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?